Woke up after midnight, both my neck and arms were sore. On my upper lip, there's a growth I've never seen before. And I wish that there was someone I could call. The WGN hotline. I have edema on my thigh, pink stuff in my eye, and I need you now.
Ah, people love the Dr. Most theme.
I've got a stomach pain that's low, fungus on my toe, and I need you now.
Sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, Impact Every Day. Dr. Kevin Most joins us. Good morning, Doc. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Doing fine, thanks. You know, my back went out yesterday morning again. I got this bulging disc.
Yep.
And usually it's golf season a couple of times a year, but in the past, I don't know, 2 or 3 months, it's happened a couple of times at work because we still haven't fixed our chair problem here in the studio. But as you know, I have a very dangerous job. And sometimes if I sit and then stand up, I could throw my back out.
Well, to be honest with you, sitting is the worst thing possible for your back. So you should ask them for one of those desks that raises so that you can stand for the two. How long do you work? Hour? 2 hours? What is the total?
The show's actually 4 hours, but with commercial time, news time. Mary takes a lot of time for traffic, and obviously you heard how long Kevin and Dave take to do sports. I'm actually only on for 6.5 minutes for the entire four-hour show.
Yeah, so maybe standing for that part would be great.
Yeah. All right, well, then that's a helper. Now, for people who are having snack hangover from last night, what do you recommend today?
Yeah, you know, probably everybody ate poorly yesterday, right? What did you, how many billions of chicken wings were eaten yesterday and how many bad dips? And
yeah, sure.
Yeah, it's time to get back onto the health wagon here. So eat salads today and kind of push fluids because I'm sure a few Budweisers were imbibed in yesterday as well.
Well, you can have a food hangover, right? You can have a food hangover from all the crap you ate.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, especially when you eat really bad food, you know, it's going to work its way through your system. But it's, yeah, you can definitely have carbo loading and then you just have these big swings in your sugar throughout the day yesterday and you can feel pretty terrible the next day.
Let me go live to Kevin on this. Kevin's back from Scottsdale. Welcome back, Kev.
Yeah, good to be back.
Now, you've behaved really, really well, but Super Bowl is one of your holidays.
Right, and calories don't count on Super Bowl Sunday anyway, so I wouldn't say I was over the top, but when my dad makes chicken wrapped in bacon, thrown in the smoker for 2 hours and then lathered in barbecue sauce, I can't say no to that. So I had a few of those, had some pizza, had some chili, had some chips.
Good God, man. Kevin. How do you feel?
Yeah. I feel good, actually. It's like a, you know, a throwback to the olden days.
You're not going to fall off the wagon, are you?
No. Back on track today.
Okay. All right, Doc. We'll do traffic and we'll come back on the other side. We have colon cancer to discuss. You got a personal story on this, as so many of us do. More coming up with Andrea Darlis live from New Hampshire. Primary tomorrow. Andrea's there today and tomorrow as well with ABC News Radio. Let's go back to Dr. Most here and let's talk about a subject that I don't know very many people. I don't know that I could name very many people that haven't been touched by colon cancer at some point in their life. I lost my dad to it and you recently lost a cousin, right?
Yeah, you know, this kind of really, we've talked about colon cancer in the past and this just really kind of hit home with me again just a few weeks ago. I lost my cousin Kathleen Duffy to colon cancer, and it's one of those that hits when it hits your family and it hits you hard, and you think about it. Like you said, you lost your father. Well, let me tell you about Kathleen Duffy. This was a young, healthy girl with no risk factors. Did not smoke. Was not in a sedentary lifestyle. Was not obese at all. Was an active, outgoing person, and died before the age of 50.
What do we know about that? How does that happen?
And you know what, Steve, when it happened, you know, it hit us all in the family very hard. My aunt and uncle, very close, and their other siblings and all the cousins are very close and tight. So it hit very tight. And it was kind of interesting that I said, you know what, I want to go back out and talk about this, just about the awareness of colon cancer, because as a country, we're terrible at screening. But what was really kind of gave me goosebumps was a week after she passed away, Cancer Journal came out with a study that showed 1 in 7 people with colon cancer are diagnosed before the age of 40.
1 in 7?
Yeah, I'm sorry, before the age of 50. We start screening at 50. But think about that.
I think Sherlock Holmes, there's something that's got to change, right?
Well, and that's what, you know, that's what's going to be thought about right now is, do we change? Do we move that screening up, or do we start doing other things? Because we're, to be honest with you, we're not doing a great job at colon cancer screening for people over the age of 50. 40% of people over the age of 50 have not had a colonoscopy. And I can tell you, I had a colonoscopy just recently, way later than I should have. And I had a precancerous tumor removed by Dr. Hoscheid. And I'll tell you, it's a wake-up call to all of us, and especially knowing that it can happen as early as it can.
I've had a couple of them, and, everything you've heard about a colonoscopy is true. The prep is awful.
Yep.
The procedure is nothing. Nothing. I mean, you're not even going to know what happened.
Right.
You're going to have peace of mind, and they're either going to send you home for 3 years or 5 years or 7 years, depending on what they find, or they're going to find something, they're going to take care of it. But, yeah, you can't not do that.
But what if you're under 50? How do you know? What are the symptoms?
Yeah, and who at 40, who's living a healthy life at 40 or 45 goes, I can't wait to have a colonoscopy?
And if you're not bleeding or you're not tired, how do you know?
And that is the big thing, Kath, is that, you know, we really need to have doctors have this as a wake-up call. So someone in their 40s that comes in that's anemic or that's complaining of fatigue, we have to at least put that into the forefront of our mind, because colon cancer can no longer be thought of as a disease of the older people. That when we have this many cases, and this was not a small study. This is University of Michigan looking at 250,000 people. This is real data. This is not a little flash in the pan thing. So really, we have to make sure that we keep that up on the top of our mind as a possible differential diagnosis for someone who comes in. And we also need to inform people that you can check yourself at home for colon cancer. There are home tests right now.
Are they good?
Yes, they're very good, and they're very good for at least an initial screening. And if they test positive, getting into the doctor then to have additional tests, even short of a colonoscopy, there's additional tests that we can do.
And these are over-the-counter things you can buy at a Walgreens, right?
Correct. Yep.
Well, it's scary stuff. And the procedures that go on if you go in and find out that there is cancer. I know that, like everything else with cancer, we've made great strides. But if it's advanced, it gets very scary very fast.
This study showed that the people that are diagnosed under the age of 50, the vast majority of them are advanced. So, but the great thing about the study actually showed that with very aggressive chemotherapy and radiation, a lot of them do well. A lot of them have a good 5-year and 10-year survival rate. Unfortunately, my cousin was in the exact same boat. When she was diagnosed, she had extensive cancer beyond the colon. So it's one of those where, wow, it's got to be a wake-up call. The medical field has to relook at, should we change some of the screening times? I'm not sure that's going to happen, but it really is an awareness. Anybody who has a family history of colon cancer, that gets moved to 40. African-Americans, 45.
And what about the insurance piece of this? Because, you know, one of the things that the Affordable Care Act was supposed to do is go to preventative medicine and not testing for everything. So are insurance companies going to, you know, you go in at 40 and go, I got a family history, I really want to get tested for this. Is it going to be covered?
Yeah, you know, that is the big interesting thing is that you say, wow, you know, if you look at what the recommendation is, it's 50. You're going to have your physician make a good case for why you're going to have it under the age of 50, probably for it to be covered by some insurances. I think other insurance companies are going to step up and say, you know what, Affordable Care Act, this is a covered service, we're going to move that time frame up. But when we still look at 40% of people haven't had it done, and we need to get the word out, too, for African Americans, that age is at 45. It's moved up.
Right.
And we need to, you know, this is a disease of developed countries. And why is that? Because we eat processed meats, because we have foods with preservatives in them. You look at places like Africa and Asia where colon cancer is almost non-existent. So it's another one where get off the couch, don't be sedentary, look at what you eat, eat a high-fiber diet, stay away from processed meats, sorry, Kevin, and you know, take care of ourselves.
And you like fiber supplements?
I do like fiber supplements. I don't think people get enough fiber in their diet. So taking something as simple as, you know, you can take it in a liquid form, you can take it in a pill form. Because if you ask people, tell me what's high in fiber, they're going to say, like, popcorn. You know, it's like, no, let's make sure we eat foods that are good, high in fiber, which allow the intestines to be much healthier.
So the idea here, kids, is the best way to keep a healthy colon is to keep the system moving, right? You want, I mean, we're trying to avoid graphic descriptions here at breakfast time, but people understand what we're talking about.
Absolutely.
You want what's coming in to flow through the system.
Yeah. And, you know, the future of this is going to be in genetics as well. You'll start to see a large study that's going to at least be started here in Chicago, or not in Chicago, will be one of them, one of the places where we're going to start collecting genetic data. And people are like, oh, I don't want my genetic data out there. You know, this is an opportunity for you to make a difference in generations to come, because we know there's the genetic link to many cancers, but we don't have enough genetic data. So you're going to see people where their doctors are going to say, would you mind if we collected your genetic data? And I would recommend everyone, please go ahead and do it. It's a simple swab inside your mouth, and it's going to make a difference in the future.
And I got to tell you, we all worry about our data being collected. Most of us, me included, we're not that fascinating. We're just trying to help everybody, including ourselves, by moving forward. So let's stop the paranoia that somebody's going to come and invade our lives, because it's a big, busy world, and the majority of data collection is for the right reason.
And it's going to make an impact on your grandkids or their kids. You know, it may not make an impact for us right now, but we have to start looking towards the future as well.
Well, Doc, useful information as always from you, and as usual, you're too smart for this show.
Yeah, I hate it to be a bummer today, but I think
getting that word out is very
important.
And did you watch the game?
I did watch the game. You know, the Manning family I really like.
Yeah,
you know,
too.
My good friend Steve Melnick is very good friends with Archie Manning, and he tells me that those boys are just the nicest. And people probably don't know that there's a third son, Cooper, who is probably a better football player than the other two, except had a back issue and could never play college football.
Right. He's a financial whiz.
Exactly. Yeah.
So they're all doing great.
Yep.
Thank you, buddy. We'll talk to you later.
You got it. Talk to you soon.
That is Dr. Kevin Most, Northwestern Medicine. Impact every day.